United States President Donald Trump's tumultuous first year in office has led to what may have been the biggest boycott of a State of the Union address ever. More than a dozen Democrats had promised not to attend, and pockets of protesters gathered along the president's motorcade route to voice their displeasure.
Donald Trump has got to go! Hey, hey! Oh, oh! Donald Trump has got to go! Hey, hey! Oh, oh!
Upon arriving at Capitol Hill for his speech, Mr. Trump was greeted by a sharply divided congressional chamber. There were ovations from the Republican side, while the Democrats remained seated. As expected, the president began by staking claim to what he called incredible progress by his administration in making the country, as he termed it, great again. He said it was despite several challenges, including floods and storms.
If there's a challenge, we tame it. If there's an opportunity, we seize it. So let's begin tonight by recognizing that the state of our union is strong because our people are strong.
Mr. Trump says since his election, his administration has created over 2 million jobs, leading to the lowest level of unemployment claims in 45 years. He also took credit for achieving the lowest rate of African American unemployment ever, although many analysts argued that was declining well before the Trump presidency. The few members of the Congressional Black Caucus who attended appeared unimpressed, and Mr. Trump took a swipe at his predecessor, Barack Obama, which didn't help.
We repealed the core of the disastrous Obamacare. The individual mandate is now gone. Thank you.
The president got an even bigger reaction by taking aim at National Football League players who have protested racial injustice by kneeling during the national anthem. Mr. Trump demonstrated his point by speaking of a 12-year-old boy named Preston, who had organized a campaign to place flags on the graves of about 40,000 military veterans.
Preston's reverence for those who have served our nation reminds us of why we salute our flag, why we put our hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, and why we proudly stand for the national anthem.
Mr. Trump lauded his administration's elimination of more regulations in its first year than any previous administration, from what he called mandates on auto workers to the war on clean coal. But he also urged a bitterly divided Congress to come together on issues like immigration.
My duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers too.
It was a reference to around 1.8 million people brought illegally to the United States as children, known as Dreamers, who face a March deadline on whether they can begin to be deported. Mr. Trump is urging Democrats to agree to a deal that would give Dreamers a path to citizenship, but in exchange for more immigration restrictions and money to build a stronger border wall. The reaction from some sections of the chamber was less than welcoming.
Under the current broken system, a single immigrant can bring in virtually unlimited numbers of distant relatives. Under our plan, we focus on the immediate family by limiting sponsorships to spouses and minor children.
Mr. Trump then turned his attention overseas, where he said the United States faces what he called rogue regimes, terrorist groups, and rivals like China and Russia. He once again called on Congress to work together to put more funding towards the military, before announcing he had signed an order to keep detention facilities at Guantanamo Bay open.
I am asking Congress to ensure that in the fight against ISIS and Al-Qaeda, we continue to have all necessary power to detain terrorists wherever we chase them down, wherever we find them. And in many cases, for them, it will now be Guantanamo Bay.
The president also called on Congress to pass legislation ensuring any U.S. foreign assistance goes only towards what he called America's friends. That comes after the United Nations condemned his administration's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But his strongest remarks were reserved for North Korea, whose nuclear program, he says, continues to pose a huge threat.
Past experience has taught us that complacency and concessions only invite aggression and provocation. I will not repeat the mistakes of past administrations that got us into this very dangerous position. We need only look at the depraved character of the North Korean regime to understand the nature of the nuclear threat it could pose to America and to our allies.
Just moments after Mr. Trump left the podium, his political opponents responded. Democratic Congressman Joe Kennedy III criticized what he called the extreme partisanship and chaos of the Trump era, saying it's left many Americans forgotten and forsaken.
Bullies may land a punch. They may leave a mark. But they have never, not once, in the history of our United States, managed to match the strength and spirit of a people united in defense of their future. Politicians can be cheered for the promises they make. Our country will be judged by the promises we keep.
Democrat Elizabeth Guzman, the first Hispanic female immigrant elected to Virginia's House of Delegates, says Mr. Trump's words only strengthened her party's resolve to take back government.
The President of the United States doesn't share our vision for the country. During his first year in office, he has pushed a somber and extremist agenda that damages our national values and endangers national security.